And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
It's like everybody's
chill. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast,
the podcast. The podcast.
I'm ready.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
Oh, the podcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Big D and Bubba. Wake up with us tomorrow and win.
That's nice. I forgot about that one.
That's a great gold.
That's a good gold.
Hi, Carson. I had your microphone off.
That's why you couldn't hear me singing.
Ugh, that's
just
terrible.
Lucky for everybody.
I'm poorly prepared today.
I just thought you were lame.
Well, that could be true, too.
Good to see everyone.
Hello, hello.
By the way, the podcast sponsored by Match.com. Finding your very special someone just got really easy. All you have to do is download their mobile app. We tell you about this every podcast, it seems. You can get your matches sent directly to your phone. That's the way God intended it. So go ahead. If you're one of our podcast listeners, get it. Download the Match.com mobile app, and you get 7 days for free. And all you have to do is go to Match.com/Bubba to do it. You're really messing with my head. Match.com/Bubba. So check that out today. What is the sound not working right or something?
I'm just checking it. I want to see how I look. I'm pretty good.
You look great, man.
Bubba and I are wearing the same shirt today.
It's weird. We're almost wearing the same outfit.
Yeah, I'm wearing. We're wearing brown shorts, khaki shorts, and
tennis shoes.
Black
V-necks.
Yeah.
With no logos. It's really weird.
Yeah, you guys are. You're twinning today.
Twinning.
That's right.
God, I wish we weren't twinning.
Hey, Ashley. Ashley Reed and Kristen. Kristen's went to the Walker McGuire show the other day. And she's been liking them for a long time. It's good to see. I'm so proud of those guys. I was texting Jordan earlier, about 20 minutes ago, about something. And he's so good at, he's great at writing songs, but it comes from him being quick on his feet. Johnny's great too, but they have different qualities. And in a lot of ways, they remind me of us.
Of you and Carson?
Yes. No, you and me.
Figured the two that are named in the show.
they remind me a lot of us. Just not as hot as we are, but... Still,
they'll get there one day.
Yeah, one day.
Well, I thought it was cool that I know you guys feel silly about it, but that you are in similar outfits. And I got a call the other day. Somebody was asking me, do you, Big D and Bubba, get along? And do they ever fight? And if so, can you please record it? But I said, I've never heard a fight. And granted, you've been, at this much longer than I've been a part of it. But I've been here almost a year and a half and I've nothing. Mm-mm.
Our fights are, by the way, the live video just froze. I'm sorry, guys, who's watching it. Our fights are not that bad. I mean, they're really not.
Yeah.
Like you and I, when we get in an argument or whatever, it's never bad.
No.
That's why I didn't have the Wi-Fi on. I'm sorry. That's why we're having a technical issue.
The Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
It's on now.
You know what's weird?
What's up, Nancy?
My kids call the cell signal Wi-Fi. They're like, Dad, we don't have Wi-Fi. And I'm like, you mean cellular? Yeah, Wi-Fi. I'm like, no, they're two different things. Very, very different things.
Hey, Tammy. Hey, Hunter. It's Bob and I have always had similarities, but we're also very different. Like most people, I think. We're kind of like, if you have a brother or a sister, how that you're different, but you're also similar. It's kind of like that, I think. That's my thoughts, anyway.
It's weird. And a lot of people, know this now, but we didn't grow up together. Mm-hmm. So we weren't like best friends, like whenever we were kids or anything like that. We just met at a radio station and it worked out. It's strange, because again, we've talked about it. We're very different, but we're very similar in our differences.
Isn't it rare? It's pretty rare though, to have put together teams that work. I don't know of many.
Well, yeah, especially
we can thank your wife for that.
Yeah, I love that story when she threw out his name when you said that you needed a partner. She said, what about Bubba? That's so cool. What I got to ask, though, what have you guys, like, can you describe a fight for me? What it would look like? Do you text it out? Is there a, like, hey, man, we're cool, right? Or is it just,
there's
like,
never, okay, I'll describe a Big D and Bubba fight. It's not actually a fight. It's just tension. Like, we'll disagree, and we'll both be very strong about our, no, this is why I think we should do it. No, I think that's dumb. And it's tense. And then you're waiting for the other person to come back and go, we'll do it anyway.
You know why it's tense? It's tense because we respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
If he feels some way about something, there's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not an idiot. I mean, he is an idiot. But I know that he wouldn't just say it just to say it. And he knows this, I'm the same way. And if the key word for any of us is if, man, I just got a feeling. As soon as you say that, okay, we're going your way.
Mm-hmm.
And that also goes good and bad on doing an idea or killing an idea.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Like if we're doing something for the show and one of us just says, man, I don't know. That one I think we'll get in trouble for and you I don't think punt. It's worth it. Then we just jump without even hesitation. We immediately move on. Yeah. We don't even talk about it.
Trust each other's guts.
We just go.
Yep.
Now, do you guys, if you've ever had a fight, do you ever apologize to each other?
Yeah.
Or is it okay?
Have we ever had to really get in that kind of? I was going to say
that's
I don't think
kind of fight. I don't think, because even when you said if it's something about you two, it might be. It sounds more like you've had differences of opinion as opposed to. I mean, I'm not picturing any battles or screaming matches. I don't know that I've ever. I mean, I've never heard either one of you raise
now,
your voice.
Patrick,
I mean, Bubba
and I,
gets loud.
Patrick and I have had a. I wish he was here. He's at Disney now. Mm. But Patrick and I have had differences of opinion where it's gotten to shouting. Because Patrick is a very loud person.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's loud at me, I get loud back. And that's a bad character flaw. But it's a natural thing. If you're going to get up on me, I'm going to get up on you. I think it's that Cajun thing because we both have it. And we've had shouting matches, but the difference is we're also adult about it, and we also respect and love each other to where we can go, you know what? All right, sorry I was, dumb, but, we need to chill and regroup.
Yeah.
I want to say hi to Andrew, Maple Lane Farm, Luz. Is that lit? Luz. What a Luz is your name?
Luz?
L-U-Z? Surely it's not Luz. Who names your kid Luz?
Type your name phonetically so Big D can pronounce it.
L-U-Z White.
Luz.
Luz?
Luz.
What do you say? Are you saying Luz?
Luz.
Like
Luz?
Luz.
Like not tight?
Like, yes, like not tight. Even though it's L-U-Z, it's Luz. I'm almost 90% positive.
Luz. I'm going to say Luz. Because
I kind of was down with Luz too.
Anyway, Carson was at, share your story backstage with Nikki Six.
No, not Nikki Six.
No, Motley Crue is retired. Def Leppard, Poison, and Tesla are on the road. And I went to one of their shows the other night and ended up backstage with guys in Tesla and Poison. So I missed Def Leppard's entire set.
That's crazy.
You were hanging backstage with them talking?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But just you and them?
No, there was me and my brother had come with me. There were two other women back there. And it was three band members, a tour manager, and the photographer for the band. So, it was a small group of us.
What does the photographer do while they're there? I mean, they take pictures of just people standing around talking?
He was just chatting. He just kind of came in to he. What happened was I was back there with a friend of mine who's in the band Tesla, and the photographer ran in and he said, "Hey, there's free fried chicken in the next room."
Oh, boom!
Which
it's
basically
on
became a free for all, and so we went in, and that's where some of the other guys were hanging out. So the photographer, I guess he's there just in case anything
like, cool happens that can capture it.
Which basically turned into the guys posing around the free fried chicken.
Well, Kenny Chesney does that. Kenny Chesney has a photographer that goes everywhere with him. And, the first time I saw it, I was like, that's crazy. He has a photographer follow him everywhere. But then every year at the end of the tour, they do a yearbook. Have you ever seen the yearbook?
No, that's cool.
It's like a high school yearbook. It's full color. I mean, he doesn't spare a dime. And it's pretty much, if you've been anywhere with him, and the reason we know about this is because he gave us some for a couple of the different tours. But if you've been anywhere on the tour with him, then odds are your picture is in the yearbook. And he signs a little thing, you know, hey, thanks for being a part of 2016. Thanks for being
That's
a part of
super
whatever.
Super cool.
It yeah. is by far the coolest thing I've seen any country star doing it. And he's been doing it for years.
And he signs it and he'll find like your picture. And it's like a high school. And it's a legit yearbook.
That I am not going to be part of any Poison or Tesla yearbook.
That would be cool,
so,
though.
So I got to say, Kenny Chesney, that's hats off to you. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We're pimp like that.
Yeah.
I want you to remember that.
Yeah. We're in the yearbook.
Never forget that.
I know who you are. Trust me.
See you next year.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
That's what I thought.
What are some of the dumb things you would sign in a yearbook? See you next year.
Yeah.
Hope we have a class together.
I had one girl signed, like, I never remembered your name. Oh, well.
She wrote that?
And I was like, I didn't even know her. I'm like, how did this girl get my yearbook? I don't know if a friend of mine had
Vanderbeek.
It. She was like,
Vanderbeek!
It was Vanderbeek, wasn't it?
It was not Vanderbeek.
Vanderbeek!
What's his first name again?
James Vanderbeek.
James Vanderbeek, the actor.
What is James Vanderbeek doing right now? I'm going to get on Twitter.
He was on the Daily Mail a couple days ago. He
like
showed up
in M-A-I-L or M-A-L-E?
Yeah, is in the mail that's sent.
He was
I'm
on
not
the daily
going
M-A-L-E.
To the daily. I'm not going to that site.
Whatever, Carson.
I keep my door shut. You guys don't know.
For those who don't know, Carson is in love with James Vanderbeek.
And always have been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a secret crush that she's
TLF.
Had.
True love forever.
And no, honestly, seriously, they grew up together, went to church together.
Yeah, we were in church together. We went to school together.
And his mom was always very insistent, persistent, that her son be in all the plays and be the lead.
She wanted to help her son succeed like any good parent
would
do.
And apparently it worked because,
yeah,
I mean, he's still famous, right? Like, people know his name. I don't know.
I had to ask you, but whatever.
which really makes you my favorite because of that.
I will say Varsity Blues is still one of the greatest movies of that era.
Does it bother you, though, because you watch him on TV or movies or whatever, and you see him doing these characters, and you're like, but that's not him. That's not the way he is.
He's a terrible person. What was kind of offensive was watching him in Varsity Blues trying to do a Southern accent or a Texas accent. And, you know, this uptight kid from Connecticut. I'm like, you're faking and we can all tell because you're not good.
Golly, it's so great. I just love Carson and this Vanderbeek feud.
And I really thought that he did good.
I don't want your life.
I know.
Okay, you're from a place called Cheshire.
Cheshire.
You're from Cheshire. Is it more Connecticut than that?
Nope.
Exactly. No. But, I mean, kudos to him. He's got his kids and his wife, so.
Here's where we do
he
that
He made
thing.
Some money.
Go ahead. Do your thing. Go ahead, girl.
Yeah, that's about it. That's
all right,
I got.
You finished. All right.
But, you know, out of the cast of Dawson's Creek, least successful.
Really? Is he?
Well, yeah. You've got Katie, what's her head, that married Tom Cruise.
Oh, Katie Holmes?
Yeah, see, look at you knowing her. I didn't know her name, but. Joshua Jackson is a very successful actor. Michelle Williams was nominated for like a bazillion Oscars.
Yeah, but has she won?
Baba, do you know any of these people?
No.
I don't either.
Michelle Williams was with Heath Ledger.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
They had a kid
yeah,
together.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
were,
yeah.
Yeah, they were.
I didn't think she's that great. Every movie I've seen her in, I've been very underwhelmed.
Was James Vanderbeek nominated for an Oscar? Nope.
No. Yeah,
what
good
was
point.
Her name?
Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
All right, I'll look her up.
I think. But again, she's been nominated for like a slew of Oscars. So good on her.
James Vanderbeek's wife's very pretty.
Good for her.
Oh yeah, I've seen her.
Yeah, see. Yeah. So
I wouldn't know who she is.
Yeah, I don't. Some British TV station just did an interview with him recently, and all they did was just ask him about Dawson's Creek. And I think one of them's like, "So, what does it feel like that everybody else was successful?"
Did they say that?
Yeah, because British people are kind of mean.
Were you sending them the question or something?
You must have been so happy.
That was an article I actually clicked on. I gave him the, hey, you get the URL for that.
Are you secretly Cheshire chum on Twitter? Is that you?
We're in that Cheshire secret group. Yeah.
So speaking of Connecticut, do you guys think that ESPN fired all those people the day before the draft because they knew it would be swallowed in the news cycle by the draft itself?
I didn't think about it then.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That has to be. It's so, like, that's something the government does. They always make these dumb laws or pass these very controversial things the day before a holiday so nobody's paying attention.
That's what Clear Channel did. Clear Channel fired all these radio people on Inauguration Day because they knew it would just get completely buried with, it was Obama's, that inauguration.
Like his,
the big one.
The first one.
2009?
Yeah. And they like fired, I don't know,
a bunch of people.
Wow.
Hundreds, I remember that.
Maybe thousands.
Well, even a lot of
I don't know numbers because we don't know the numbers. I don't want somebody getting us for slander.
Well, I know PR places do that too. They'll announce like maybe bad celebrity news, like a divorce or something. They'll put it out that Friday afternoon before a long weekend. Because then, of course, nobody's available for comment, so they think it'll die down.
And then by the time Monday rolls around, nobody cares because we've moved on
to
the
next
big thing.
But I didn't even think about the draft. I bet you're right, though. That timing is pretty suspect.
I was thinking that their coverage kind of sucked, too.
Like, I thought it was great.
No. Let me explain something about the NFL draft. So I'm in a bar with some buds, and we're hanging out. And obviously, what do you do whenever you're following something live on TV? You do live tweeting and you check. I've got a list on Twitter that's nothing but sports people that I follow and, you know, athletes and also pundits or whatever you want to call them, experts. And so I'm watching all this, but ESPN was 5, maybe even 8 minutes behind on their live TV from what was going on. And I was getting ticked because I'm trying to follow what's happening. And the entire time they're like, and Tampa chose blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, that's 4 picks from now. It was so horrible.
Really?
They were doing some time shifted something or other. And then they would go to shots that were actually live. And then they would back off and then it was kooky and it was horrible. And I just want to say, ESPN, you guys suck for doing that to me because I really like watching the draft. You know, I mean, how would you feel?
Yeah, you
like
get into it.
You're watching it, you're excited, you want to see who your team's getting. And the fact that it kept getting spoiled by Twitter, which, by the way, I know the answer would have been put Twitter down and just watch it. But the point is, they don't give the information I want. Whenever I see a pick,
right.
I want to go and get, you know, the information from the people I respect. I don't care about the talking heads on TV with their little prepackaged video and stuff.
I didn't realize they were that off.
It was terrible. We were going to watch it again tonight. And I'm like, no, I'm good.
No, the problem with especially sports, you have to be real time.
Yes.
You can't be behind.
Yes.
That's... You're ESPN. You're going through all these layoffs. Like, this might be the one place you want to shine.
I thought they did a good job. But
because you weren't on Twitter.
Yeah.
Right. I was just watching it as it was. Yeah. I will tell you that they had a point where, I can't remember who it was, the camera goes to them. You know, they're back in a green room. It's kind of a holding area back off stage. And it's a bunch of the top athletes who are assumed to go in the first round.
Like back in the day when Aaron Rodgers was the last guy left in the green room. Remember that?
Yeah. And so they're back there and the camera goes to this guy and it's like 3 minutes until they have to make a decision. The team has to make a decision. I forget who it was. And he's on the phone and he's like crying, like excited crying.
Oh.
And they knew like, they were like, oh, woo. I don't think we're supposed to show that because it changes everything up. I mean, other teams can go, okay, we know that this person's gone and blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
I saw a couple moves where you know there were teams screwing with other teams. And I'm not going to get into specifics, but I was like, ooh.
Yeah, there's a whole thing. It's really complicated.
Obviously, teams have needs, but they also know that their competitors have needs.
Yes.
And they can go, you know what? That's not our number one need, but if we can take that player that they've got so much time invested in scouting that it's their guy, and just take it from them.
Yeah.
You know, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
All the mind games are fun.
Yeah. A lot of that. I was trying to explain it to someone yesterday, and they're like, okay, so how does it, well, they can, you know, trade picks and get something for the next year even. And they're like, wow, I didn't know all that. But think about those guys who, I was pretty emotional. There was a point where I was talking with their parents and stuff before the draft, and they're like, you know, what's this day like for you as a parent? I'm like, you know what? All those times of taking them to practice and workouts, and even when he was little, and all the time it's taken, and people don't even realize all the work that goes into it.
I know.
And to be here tonight, it's really special. And
I can't even imagine what that's like, because obviously as a parent, you would see it, that when you've got, you know, a little tot out there in like Pop Warner, his pads, and okay, he's probably good in high school and great, he's going to get to college. And just to get to this level, the chances of it, the percentages are so slim. And yet your child, you know, your son is about to live that dream.
That's why I'm holding up the picture of my grandma. I'm here and I just want to thank grandma. I knew it. I knew it. I was going to, what? You give me that bad look. I'm here for grandma.
Oh, the guy who did the grandma thing.
That was great, by the way, because what a great story. But then dropping the F-bomb immediately after, find me later, whatever. They will.
Yeah.
No, they can't actually, because it's cable. Mm. You can get away with it.
Oh, really?
But thank you, grandma. I love you.
Yeah, there have been some words that, you know, obviously I'm not going to say, but there have been that pop up on my TV that I had.
Like The Walking Dead, they do it all the time.
Well, yeah.
Like they got very comfortable. Dropping a couple of them.
Well, I was watching a reality show last night on Bravo, and they were dropping some words
you
in there.
You watch Bravo?
I was watching Southern Charm. About socialites in Charleston.
I know
it's pathetic. It's just I don't know why I enjoy them, but I do. But they were dropping some words on there that I thought, you can say that? Like, I would have thought they were bleak.
You can, with cable, you can get away with it because it's not broadcast.
What they also did was, it was two people talking on a phone. And so they captioned what the guy who was coming through the speaker was saying. So they actually spelled out the swear word. And I go, this is where my little puritanical self is like, where are the asterisks, people? I need some stars. I wasn't really prepared for that to just show up on my TV.
Shook your world, huh? Shook your world, Carson. Little Connecticut Carson. That's what we should call you. We should call you Connecticut. Cheshire Carson. And you have to change it to Carson.
Carson?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to change it. You say Cheshire Carson. By the way, how's your dad doing? He came in a few weeks ago and saw him for all of 5 minutes and he left.
Not he had to go play golf. No, they're doing good. My parents are converting their attic to an actual third floor. So I got the pictures yesterday of the crane with all this, like, I don't know, wood, sheetrock, whatever building materials are, being lifted into their third floor window and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
My mother loves a project.
What are they going to do with it? I mean, is it going to become like a all-purpose, multi-purpose area? Or is it going to be a movie theater or something?
There's
going to
be
cool?
another bedroom up there. I think they're putting in a third bathroom. They live in an older house, so it doesn't. Like, they don't have as many, you know, like, we all get, like, a million bathrooms now, but their house is, like, 100 years old. So they're going to put a bathroom on the third floor. There's going to be another bedroom, possibly a study. I don't know. My dad might have a computer room. Whatever. You know, it's their money. Have at you. God bless. So I'll just see it
so
when it's done.
I have so much stuff I've got to do at my house. It's ridiculous. Like, just upkeep. Obviously, you know, because you're trying to sell yours. So to get it ready and then to pass inspection, you got all this junk you got to do and kind of in the middle of all that.
This
right
is the
now.
First time in 4 weeks that I don't have paint on my nails. Like, I'll walk into work and I'm in the shower and I'm loofing, trying to get all the paint off me. I have one of those brushes that it's like battery powered and it scrubs your skin and I'm getting paint off.
Yeah, sure. Right, Carson.
Hey, now.
You like your brush, don't you?
It's Amopay or something. But honestly, I'm at the show the other night and, you know, full hair and makeup and whatever. And I look down and there's paint on my wrist.
Oh.
I have gray paint on my wrist because I just can't get it all.
Aww.
So it's, you know, though, you know how it is. Once you get the work done, you're stoked. It's just, you just live in this constant state of mess and clutter.
I've got a ton of stuff. Like right now, Stacy wants to do a fire pit, you know, with the chairs around it that. And I'm like, yeah, okay, great. But then I know what's going to happen. She wants me to do it.
Well, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's great and everything, but I don't want to actually do the work. So I've been putting it off. I've come up with every excuse imaginable. Oh, well, you know, this and that. Oh, yeah. You know, I had the shoulder injury for a long time, so that was good. But now I'm making up other injuries.
Yeah, no more excuses. Oh, my toe. I stubbed it. I couldn't possibly. What if I dropped
it's
a
break? Really easy. That's an easy project to do, though.
It is. But here's the thing. I don't have anybody to help me with it. So I'm the one who's going to have to carry all those big, giant
pavers.
Pavers, and then I have to pavers, and then I've also got those little brick-looking things, you know, that you go around it with, and then I got to do some little rocks to go on the little path, and there's a lot to do on it, and I don't want to do it.
Yeah, it's not that it's hard; it's heavy.
Yeah,
yes,
all that stuff, all that pea gravel, all the pavers, and you're doing like a
250-pound bags of gravel. Yeah. Suck.
There's nothing worse than picking up rain-soaked mulch.
Oh,
not only
yeah.
is it heavy, but then it gets everywhere. It goes down your arm, down your leg. It's the worst.
You smell like that.
Speaking of which, I have to go buy 4 bags of mulch today. Thank you for that reminder.
You can
get you some.
Go see our friends at
Home Depot.
Does
anybody want a piano, by the way? I have a piano in my house.
What kind of piano?
It's an upright.
I've got one.
See, everybody's got a piano. And even if you go on like Craigslist, people are trying to give away pianos. Like, hey, you just need to move it. Nobody
I've got
wants
one.
Them.
I've got an upright. I want a grand piano.
Yeah.
I want one really bad. I think it would just be cool.
My parents have a baby grand piano. And my mother's like, well, why don't you ship me your piano and I'll get rid of the baby grand because it's so big. And do you know how much it's going to cost to ship a piano?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? I just want to like Wile E. Coyote and get a crane and
ship
drop it.
Ship a rhinoceros would be cheaper.
You're right.
What books are you guys reading? Y'all doing any reading or listening?
I've been listening to I've been going back into the Edgar Rice Burroughs Princess of Mars books. Like, you know, John Carter, the movie that was out a couple years ago. I love that movie, by the way. Very underrated. But it got me kind of turned on to go and read those old books. And they're cool. I mean, when you think that they're 100-something years old, this guy was very creative. I mean, they're in the time of cars were barely even a thing. And he was coming up with flying ships and things like that. So I've been reading that, listening to that, if you want to call it that. But it just, you know, I don't know if I'm going to keep going on the series. I'm kind of trying to decide what to do.
Huh.
What are you reading?
I'm not reading anything.
Not listening to anything?
Nope.
Oh.
Actually, you know what I've been listening to? I've been listening to, it's a link that Bubba sent me a few weeks ago, the podcast of Art Bell.
I listened to Art Bell yesterday. I was listening to the one with him and Lazar, the guy who was at Area 51 with the aliens and the flying saucer and all that.
Yeah, I've heard parts of it, and I didn't
so
get the
long.
Whole.
I'm like, it's a 3.5-hour thing, and I'm like an hour into it, and they still haven't even gotten to the spaceship yet.
3-hour podcast?
Well, it's his old radio show.
You don't know Art Bell? Do you know the
story?
No,
I know the name, but I was trying to.
He retired a long time ago, but they chopped down all of his old radio shows into podcasts.
Oh.
So this is like from the 80s and 90s and all that.
In fact, if I recall, the first and maybe only overnight radio show that just talked about all the weird stuff.
Yeah, there was no politics or anything like that. It was just
aliens.
Was he the one who got like a weird phone call one night?
He got a bunch of weird
phone
calls.
But there was one that he tried to take it. Like he recorded his shows, obviously, but for some reason that segment didn't record, and it was some. I swear I read something about him that it was either a government operative or somebody that had insider information about.
He had threats from the government and all kinds
of
things.
Okay.
He ended up retiring at one point because he felt like his safety for him and his family, because he lived like out in the middle of the desert in a trailer or something. Ooh. And I mean, it was so perfectly stereotypical that guy was living in a trailer and doing his show out of there. It was very conspiracy theory stuff.
Super cool.
He got threats and all that. And he ended the show. He's like, look, enough's enough. And then he came back and did something for a little while. And I don't know what he's
from
doing
July 20th, 2015 to December 11th, 2015. And he stopped it citing concerns at his home. He and his family were subject to repeated intrusions on his property. Fear of his family's safety, he opted to leave the air in public life, as he believed the intruder or intruders wanted him off the air.
Because he was always talking about these conspiracy theories. And a lot of people are like, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And he's getting a little too much out there.
I'm going to have to check those out.
It was great. I mean, it really was.
It's funny to listen to him because he's right. They're from the 80s and 90s. And so they're talking about things. And he's like, I just have received a picture of some crop circles. This was just faxed to me just seconds ago.
You caught like, that?
What?
Faxed.
Faxed, yeah.
Faxed? They're all, though, I was on this the episode where they're talking about Y2K. And I forgot how big of a thing that was in 1999. Actually, 1998 and 99. The world was freaked out because we thought 2000 was going to reset all kinds of stuff.
And yeah, for those of you who are listening right now and don't know what Y2K is, the computers back in the day did not have a way to go to the year 2000. It was always programmed with the number 1 and 9 and then the last two digits. So it was never a problem until someone went, well, what do we do when it turns 2000?
And they only used the last two digits of the year instead of four.
Right.
So they thought 99 would then...
Thank you. You made it right.
Yeah, like a car's odometer would just go to 00, which would everything think it was 1900. It was also, by the way, that explanation came from Office Space. So thanks, Ron Livingston, for that.
But
that's
you know,
his
it's,
job
it
in
was
Office
good.
Space.
It was a good one. And so what happened is, so for 2 years, basically, there was all this speculation in the media. Banks, financial organizations were really concerned. And but they talk about it on the show, and they're like, you know, yeah, this is going to happen. And
we all thought that society was going to fail. Everybody thought. I mean, we were all in a panic mode. There was even Chad Brock did a Country Boy Can Survive. The Y2K version. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Where he's talking. Do you don't remember
I
that?
Don't. Oh,
he did a version of A Country Boy Can't Survive, and it was all with Y2K lyrics. Like, you know, everything's going to fail, but it's okay because a country boy can survive. And it was great.
I don't know. That I think I've told you. New Year's Eve, 99 into 2000, I was working at NBC in New York City. And I had to have three different sets of passes. Just to get to Rockefeller Center, to get into the building, and then to get to the eighth floor where the studio was. And it
because
was
because they were expecting it to.
They were, because they were afraid. They didn't want anybody who wasn't supposed to be there, because if Armageddon happened and basically everything was knocked off, the panic of people not being able to, like your TV, like what if cable goes out or something? And they didn't want anybody who wasn't even supposed to be in the vicinity, because they wanted to make sure that the engineers would have room to work and set up generators and do links. I know nothing about technology, but it was basically to be able to get back on the air if it all fell apart. They needed the room for the trucks.
Nobody knew what was going to happen. Mm-mm. It was crazy. Like, we really thought that, you know, there was a potential for society to crash. And remember, just a little heads up. If you don't have water and things stored, you only have about 72 hours before everybody goes completely crazy. So, you know, make sure you look into prepping. Prepper basics. Just Google that.
I'm looking at some of the stuff on Art Bell, some of the things that have happened. They have them documented. On September 11th, 1997, Art Bell took a call from a frantic man claiming to be an Area 51 employee, ex-Area 51 employee. He grew progressively more upset as the call wore on, culminating in the show's going temporarily off the air because of a satellite failure. The gentleman called back on the 28th.
Wait, so the guy from Area 51 called and their satellite went out?
Yeah.
yeah.
A guy called and said he had information on... This is trippy. This guy called and said he had information on the correlation, financial correlation between the Bush family and bin Laden. And he went on to tell of his how his research showed how 9/11 may have been orchestrated by the Bush family and hinted at proof of a coming police state with secret prisons and whatnot. And he was going to forward all this information, but he died in a suspicious car crash weeks after the call.
It's just fascinating. You listen to it and you're just like, wow. It's not the greatest stuff in the world, but you're just like,
it's also dated.
It's dated and but it's entertaining. You know, you hear that kind of stuff and you're like, wow. Like he had one night, he's like, okay, I'm leaving a special line open. If you are a time traveler and you are here visiting this time, you can call the special line that we're leaving open for only those people.
And they would give that number.
And they said, for everyone else, you can call, you know, east of the Rockies, your number is this. West of the Rockies, you can tell I've been watching it. West of the Rockies is this number. And
again, time travelers only.
Time travelers only. Number. It's great. And people call it and, you know, they're all fake. You know, and he busts them. But this is great. Good stuff. That's what
We should do that. We should open up the phones for time travelers on the next show. We should have, if you are here from the future or the past, wherever, and you're a time traveler, call us and tell us your thoughts about what's going on in America now. I think that would be fun because, you know, they would be fake and goofy, but we would get some really funny things, I think.
People get creative.
Do you think that we have the ability to time travel?
Do we have the ability? I'm going to say no at current technology, but we may if somebody from the future has come back. Does that make sense? Like, in other words, I don't think capabilities of 2017 America or Earth has the time travel thing down, but I think 2059 or maybe 2744 or whatever. Yeah. I think those people can.
Well, I mean, I saw a documentary about a guy who he was hanging something on his toilet and he fell and he hit his head.
That was called Back to the Future.
Oh, right. I mean, I thought a DeLorean got us right there. No, I always thought that.
Oh, my God. Is that the joke?
Yeah.
I was like, really? I was into it. And he was like,
that was my Doc Brown.
I'm sorry. I should have let you go on.
No, that was fine. Save me out of it. I'm not funny. But that's what
you are.
But with time travel, I think it's possible. I just don't know.
I read a really cool book. Speaking of cool books, it's called The Past Watch, something or other, Christopher Columbus. And basically, let me find this. Past Watch. Well, if I could spell past, that would be great. I wrote Post Watch. Past Watch, The Redemption of Christopher Columbus. It's by Orson Scott Card, and it was really fascinating. Basically, we had these time travelers in the nowish days, and they were able to go back. They couldn't go forward, but they could go back and watch how history really unfolded. And they were observers only, but then something goes on, and
two in my head when I start thinking about time travel like that, because it's like, oh, I'm only going to watch because it's like the butterfly effect, if you know. Butterfly in Tokyo flaps its wings. We have a hurricane in New York or something. But I start thinking, if there were time travelers and they've already been to the past, well, that means they've already been here, right? And they would have affected it. Like, you can't just show up.
You're going to do something.
Even if they stand in place, amount of space.
Someone has to walk around you and that changed their timeline.
And then I just get in this weird, it's just a bad spiral just down the drain. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back and watch Bravo now and just clear my head.
I never thought about all that. No, you're right.
That if time travel is possible, we've already been visited.
Do you remember
somebody's come back.
The episode of Community when they were rolling the dice.
All the six universes?
Yes. Yeah. It's the bet. They roll the dice, and they're like, no, don't do it, because you're going to create alternate timelines. And the die lands, and it's like 4. And that person had to get up and go answer the door, whoever was the fourth person. And 3, and they kept showing what each one would do. And it was really fascinating.
It's like one of them ends up burning down a building, all because they answered the door to get pizza. So
there's a movie from the 90s, I want to say, like early 90s, Gwyneth Paltrow, Sliding Doors.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
That was pretty fascinating. It showed basically what would happen. The movie was filmed like if she got on the subway train or whatever, if she got on the train, how her life went, or if she missed the train, how her life went. And in many cases, they had them side by side, so you could see the complete extremes of just one simple decision and how things could go really right or really wrong just from doing something like getting on the train or turning left at a stoplight or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's real. That's real life.
That is very real.
Think of all the decisions you make and how it affects you. You never know. And I always think about these people who, you know, like 9/11, you know, they, for whatever, you know, oh, I had to go back to my apartment.
I missed my flight.
Yeah, I missed. Yes, all that stuff. And if they hadn't of, you know, they would have died.
You know, Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy was supposed to be on the flight out of Boston. And it was Tuesday morning, Tuesday, September 11th. He'd been out the night before and was drinking so much that he got the time screwed up as to when the flight was supposed to be. And when he showed up at the airport, it was, no, dude, the plane's taxiing. Because he was so, like, I guess he was just so wasted and he was hungover and he had the times all jumbled in his head. He was supposed to be on one of those flights.
Wow.
Yeah. And, like, people ask him about it and he says, you know, like, he's told the story, but he says, I don't want to take away from the horror to make it about me because obviously I'm here and I'm alive. But he was, he was supposed to be on one of them. And, like, some chick from the real world was supposed to be on one of the New York flights. She was doing an appearance, but she had a fight with her boyfriend. And she said, well, what am I rushing to get back home for? Like, I'll just take a later flight and I'll sleep in. But it was all stories like that.
You know, are she and her boyfriend together? I mean, did they go into that? Because I would be like, you saved my life, you jerk. Let's get married.
That's true, right? Yeah, I mean, at that point, yeah. Like, you might as well put a ring on it. But no, all those little stories came up. People, like, some guy said, my wife and I just decided to actually make breakfast that morning. So I was going to be 15 minutes late to work, and I would have been on, like, the 77th floor. You just read those stories and think, for whatever reason, was in their head to not do their usual routine that day.
I remember, I kind of miss it actually. I miss that anger that I had.
The post 9/11.
Yeah.
How we all wanted to get even.
Yes.
We all wanted.
Everybody. We were all together and we all just wanted to go find and just bomb, nuke, hit, whatever.
Black, white.
We were all together.
Mexican.
I miss how nice we were to each other.
Everybody liked each other because we all knew that we were in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool. And then everything went crazy. I still don't get what happened in the ensuing years, like how we could go from one extreme to the other so quickly.
Well, I mean, it was a gradual thing. It was a gradual come back around, but, you know, it was kind of one of those.
It was still pretty quick. I mean, you're talking, that isn't like a generational change. There was in the course of 10 years after 9/11, America was different. Completely different.
Yeah. And where were you in 9/11?
You just pulled in Alan Jackson.
Yeah. I was at my radio station. I was learning how to produce a morning show because they were going to go on a trip to Disney the next month and take their usual producer with them, and they wanted me back in the studio. And we got a call from our midday person, and she said, hey, a plane just hit the Trade Center. And immediately, my boss was like, it's Osama bin Laden. And that was before the second one had even hit.
He said it was really? Osama he bin did. Laden? Yep. Like, he knew the name?
Yeah. Because there were a few people that really, and I admit,
because you had
the coal
and you had the previous attack.
Which I knew, obviously I knew of those, but I wasn't as educated to know the name Osama bin Laden. But I remember him saying that, and we were, and that's when, like, we're all on dial-up, right? You're on super slow internet.
Yeah.
And we kept trying to pull up MSNBC or CNN, and CNN had, like, one picture on the website. And then we cut into, because we were in Connecticut, so we were fairly close to New York City. And so we cut into one of the New York City news station feeds and started playing it. And then so we heard, actually, the broadcast of the second tower, which it was. I don't know if people remember this. It was a lot of confusion. So, like, second plane hit. No, that's just the debris from the first one. No, it was the second plane. And so we went through that. And I remember sitting in our, like, jock lounge, you know, if you have the kind of kitchen area. And then it came over the Pentagon had get hit. And I just remember going, what is happening? And just my mind couldn't handle it. And we were done. Obviously, everything, you know, your entire day, whatever you had planned, it's over. And I just went home. I didn't know what else to do. That's what I remember being there.
We were sitting in the studio, and it was a beautiful morning, remember?
Yeah.
And back then, we had studios with all glass walls, and, you know, we're in a high rise, and we're looking out over everything, and it was just gorgeous. And we saw the TV where they showed, and they were reporting at the time, a small plane. Mm-hmm. A small plane hit the tower. And we're looking at it, and we're like, That's not a small... Big D and I were training to be pilots at the time. We weren't even real pilots yet. And we're like, no, that's too big. And look at the shape. That is not a small plane. So we called Dick Marcinko, who was the founder of SEAL Team 6 and all kinds of stuff. And
Red Cell.
Red Cell. We called him and we're like, hey, are you watching this? What's going on? So we put him on the air talking about how it potentially could be a terrorist attack. And then and then all of a sudden we're on the phone with him and the second plane hits and he goes, oh, my God. And then you hear what? It sounded like the sound of 10 phone lines going off.
Lines going
you hear
brruh,
brruh, brruh, brruh, wow. Everything going off. He goes, gotta go, guys.
Click.
And that was it. And we're like, holy crud. And I will never forget that. I'll never forget that moment. And then we ended up going straight. We tried to talk about it as best we could, but we were getting the information from the
sure.
TV. Nobody knew what was going on at the time. So we just, I remember our boss was like, let's just go straight news. And we just went directly to it. Mm-hmm. And then we sat around. I called my wife. I said, lock the doors. Don't answer it for anybody. The guns are, the code is this. You know, and we had a newborn at the time. It was crazy. She was freaking out. I'm like, look, I'm going to stay here as long as I can or as long as I need to. And I'll get home as quick as I can. And we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah, it was... And it was kind of before you had email and stuff, but like social media wasn't a thing. But I remember frantically emailing. I had just left New York City a couple months before, and my dad had retired from NBC a couple months before. So immediately we're on trying to reach everybody that we knew, like, are you okay? And we were in, if you don't know New York City geography, we were in Midtown, and this was at the south tip of the island. But even so, I knew people that worked for CNBC, which was financial, which is right in that area. And it just became frantic. You just got so many emails in that next week that basically said, I'm okay, my family's okay, or my friends are okay, or a much worse email, which is, I'm okay, but my dad's gone, or, my parents' friends, there's like six of them that are no longer with us. And those were steady for about 10 days afterwards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was rough. And again, I mean... My life, when I say that, it's never about me. It was because it was happening to people that I knew and loved, but, you know, it wasn't like, you know, my dad didn't, you know, he wasn't in the city, or, you know, I didn't lose people that I'd grown up with the way some of my friends did. And it was just, and I went back to the city two months later, and one friend of mine was like, you know, do you want to go to the site? Nope. Mm-mm.
No,
because they were still in the middle of cleaning.
Why would you want to go to the site? I never understood what is with people. But it's the same thing as looking at a wreck. I've seen so many wrecks and so many things like that where you pull up and you see a body or a motorcycle. The worst is a motorcycle accident where you see somebody on the side of the road, smushed. And why do people look at that stuff? I'm the guy where we're coming up on a wreck, I tell the kids, do not look. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you in the rearview mirror. Do not turn your head.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them to see that.
Yeah.
And why do people like doing, I remember after Katrina, remember all the tourists, the Katrina tourists? You know, we're going to the Ninth Ward. Woohoo! It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, people lost everything, including their lives.
People are crazy. Why do we like to do that?
Like NASCAR, why do you like to watch wrecks? Same principle.
And that is really why I watch NASCAR.
It's a human. It's human nature. There's a. If I tell you, there's a warning that says, do not, you know, hey, heads up. There's a, what are you looking for, Bill? Patrick's gone. He's in Disney. Disney. Yeah, he's actually dressing up as Mickey. For a weekend.
He's Minnie today.
Yeah, he won a contest to dress up for a weekend, so he went down for it.
Yeah. Tomorrow he's Elsa.
I'm totally messing, but he is in Disney.
You need Patrick?
No.
We'll be back on Monday. We're live, by the way, Bill.
We're on podcast, but so if you say something
I love where we work.
Just go,
like,
come grab the mic.
Just walk
talk
in.
To them. I can't hear you. I have headphones on. I can't hear you.
No, you had water issues.
Yeah.
Just grab the microphone.
Oh, that was it?
We had water issues.
It's in the AC unit outside.
Oh, it's the same one that was condensating.
Yeah, it's outside, not the drip pan inside. Okay. Well, I looked in the pan. Yeah, no, the pan's probably fine.
Wow. Oh, well, this is what we do.
It's the third floor.
Well, Big D has this conversation. We just want you to know. This is it. This is our lives. This is it. We're real. We just hang out.
Stuff happens.
And whatever happens, happens.
Happens. Here we are.
You know, like we'll be in here and the UPS guy will walk in and be like, can you sign for this? And you know, we'll do it right here.
Here it
right
is.
On the show.
We all have it. Everybody that's got a job knows that this is, you know, you can plan out your day. Never, ever is going to go the way you think.
Never.
Something will always be there.
Well, this is good. I'm actually glad that Bill walked in because I want to get off of the... I want to get off of the 9/11 talk.
That's awesome.
What's awesome? What happened?
He just said that they're doing an event over across the way here, and he's writing a contract that says if they park in our parking lot, that each car?
No.
Or is it? No, just.
One car is a violation.
One car is a violation.
It's a $1,000 fine, and they're going to pay it to us.
What?
Yeah. They'll come to our company, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing. Okay.
I'm gonna park elsewhere so I'm gonna force people to park in my spot.
Do you want me to go out there with flags and direct them?
Yeah. Most so funny is that Bill goes, if someone parks there and it'd be $1,000. I mean, that's fair. I'm thinking, no, I can't say that's not fair. But okay, it's
Bill, you just get on the microphone, dude.
Go down to cinema.
You're okay.
Yeah. Okay. 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 All right.
All right. Bill.
You're killing us. All right. Thank you, Bill. Yeah, so he's the best. Isn't he the best?
Yeah.
He's so great. And he looks a little bit like Benjamin Franklin.
Just a little bit.
Like he's slowly
Carson,
became.
You've never heard that? You've never realized that before?
No,
you will never
totally
unsee
true.
It. You will never unsee
totally
it.
True.
You look
but he
the
didn't
spectacles.
Used to, he didn't used to be Benjamin Franklin.
No.
He became Benjamin Franklin
when he retired.
And he kind of is he gone?
I don't know.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill. Yeah, he kind of let himself go. And so that's what happens when. Hey. Okay, I thought I heard you. When.
This is amazing.
I think when older guys have gray hair and they have like longer hair. What are you doing?
He's got his skateboard out to check on it.
And they have longer hair and they kind of let it go.
Yeah.
It kind of grows.
Okay.
Tony Hawk over here gave us the all clear.
It grows long, and then he wears those goofy, round, weird financial expert glasses, and he just turned into Benjamin Franklin. And
next
I'm telling you, it was because I didn't see him because he left. He goes, "Well, I'm retired. I'm going to Turks and Caicos." Okay, so we didn't see him for like, I didn't see him for like 2-3 months.
We thought we would never see him again.
Right, and he comes retiring means.
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm not going to come back. And no, he did. And
that was like 3 years ago.
And he walks in and I was like, hey, Bill, what are you doing? Is there a thunderstorm? What are you doing with the kite and the key? it was weird, but he's awesome. He's awesome. Yeah, I told him if they park in your parking lot, it's going to be $1,000. That's fair.
A true character.
That's fair.
I love it. That's fair. You know what? Fine. Cool.
Tell him, $1,000. So I'm writing up a contract. I'll get it to Patrick. Okay, cool. Thanks, Bill. We were just talking about 9/11, but whatever. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That sounds like a good place to stop.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. By the way, Angie, yes, I was on a skateboard. Just
yes,
so you know.
Yes, he was.
Occasionally, when it works out, when the doors open, I can go down the hall and not run into people. But like, we'll have people in here, like a big crowd, and sometimes I can't do that. I almost ran over Tyler Farr
on a skateboard.
Day. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
He's wearing me out, man.
What, Tyler?
Yes.
On what, text?
Yes.
What's he doing now?
Oh my God.
When you're coming hunting, let's go hunt. We got to fish it. I think it's cool.
Oh, no,
I think it's
it
cool
is,
that
man.
Tyler Farr has been on us to come hunt with him.
Take away the fact that he's famous and sings. If it was just a dude, a friend of mine, if it was anyone else, a guy, my friend who, works at State Farm, if he sent me a text, hang on.
Go on.
Don't take away. That was an awful, awful thing you just did.
No, it's awesome because somebody just nailed something. Go ahead. Tell your story.
Go ahead.
No, tell your story.
Go ahead. Are you happy it worked? Go
this
ahead.
This train is so derailed.
What if Bill is Benjamin Franklin and he time traveled? What? Debbie is brilliant. Maybe he didn't become Benjamin Franklin. Maybe he's been Benjamin Franklin the whole dang time.
I will tell you that was actually worth.
That was worth the interruption.
That's what I'm saying. That was good.
No, you're right. Okay. He could definitely be. Our super is Benjamin Franklin. Guys.
That's
Benjamin Franklin.
We evidence of legend. Time travel. We were looking for it. Art Bell looked for years. What? We got it in 10 minutes.
And you know what? He's always tinkering with stuff.
He is.
That's what he came in talking about, the AC unit. Ah, there's no water in the pan. Like, well, no.
We have proved it.
And isn't that just like Benjamin Franklin? Well, someone parks in your parking lot. I wrote up a contract. It's going to be $1,000.
That's fair. Because Benjamin Franklin was all about
the Benjamins.
The Benjamins?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just wants 10 of himself.
Could be.
Crisp bills.
Maybe he doesn't believe people. He's heard the saying, Benjamins, and he asked someone, what does that mean? They said, well, it's because Benjamin Franklin is on the $100 bill. Interesting.
Wait. His name is Bill.
What?
You mean like dollar bill,
His name is Bill.
His name is Bill.
Benjamin Franklin. When you say, give me a dollar bill, the dollar bill, it's all about the Benjamins.
Yeah, this is all coming together.
The bills.
It's all coming together.
This is a fantastic conspiracy theory that I think we might be able to prove.
Holy crap, we know Benjamin Franklin.
Yep.
And we keep running him out of here. We should be inviting him to...
What are we doing? We are wasting.
The founding father.
Yes.
You know what we should do? Listen, just between us three, and don't even include Patrick in this. From here on out, I want every time you see Bill, I want you to talk to him as if he really is Benjamin Franklin from the past.
Dude, yes.
Okay.
I'm in.
And
so in.
And he's going to be confused. Okay.
If you need to, won't, because he's Benjamin frickin' Franklin. That's why.
No, because he's been in character. He knows.
And you just. He will just laugh it off, and he'll be like, oh, that's weird. But don't ever change the way you interact with him now. He's Benjamin Franklin. Treat him with respect.
Benjamin Franklin went under a bunch of aliases, too.
Pseudonyms, yeah. He's ghost names, writing names.
He did. When he would...
His nom de plume.
One of them is Bill Young.
Telling you what I've heard.
Bill, yep. And he's young.
Yeah, he's not young, but
Benjamin Franklin.
Okay, well, thank you, and thank you to...
This has been the greatest podcast
ever. thank you to Match.com for helping us out and being the sponsor of our podcast.
Finding a very special someone just got easier when you download their mobile app. I'm blown away right now. Get your matches sent directly to your phone. Also, if you're one of our listeners, 17 listeners, you can get 7 days for free by going to match.com/Bubba. Check it out today. And if you're Benjamin Franklin, you can get it for free forever.
And we never have to worry about him hearing this because, well, it's not his thing. Bill, did you hear that podcast? What do you mean?
Huh?
Huh?
What?
What's going on here, mister?
Anyway, thank you for putting up with us today.
Goodbye.
We love you.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
This was the podcast.